What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
It's Bashomania!
Let me tell you something, brother. He gave us everything he had in him tonight. What you gonna do when Bashomania runs wild on? Oh, it's gonna be a good one.
And business just picked up here on the podcast.
Go.
Oh, yeah.
We're back. Bashomania. Coffee talk. My guy Chenzo's been way too long. How are you?
What's up? What's up, everybody? I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm pumped to have you. Episode 214 brought to you by our good friends at Attack. They're still with us. Download the Attack app. Level up. Look at all your levels. It's like a trainer in your pocket. I've been saying it for years. If you haven't downloaded the app, I don't know why you haven't yet. Download it. It'll help you level up. Video game stats meets real life training. It's ATAC. It's in the Apple App Store, Google Play Store. Go download it.
I have a question.
I hopefully got an answer.
I have a question just like with the Attack app, like just in general. Yep. So like obviously follow Attack and everything on social media, but like I'll see like Attack app and like I'll say like a high school kid like post something together and it'll be like their like ratings and stuff. And like yep. The high school kid 99 speed and strength.
I think
I just want to know like that kid's the fastest person on the Attack app.
So
he's not gonna get any faster.
I'm curious about that too, because I just saw like if you follow Attack on social, you can see them talk about or they'll show like different wrestlers, different football players, what their levels are. And sometimes it's like 99 for mentality, 99 for agility. And so I don't know if there's a cap. We're going to have to talk to the Attack team.
Because like I like straight up, like I know Trent Hiley does a lot with Attack app, right?
Yep.
Like that's just like. When I think of someone that does stuff with Attack app, like that's one person that pops in my mind. And like Trent's like mental will be like 85 and some high school football players like mental is like 90.
I think these high school kids are lying.
Like what do we do? Like there's no way there's some high school football players tougher than Trent Hiley.
Maybe they need to implement some like validation of manually input stats.
Mm-hmm.
We got to test some of these levels.
Yeah, like that's my only question with when it comes to Attack app. But other than that, very cool stuff.
Yeah, and so if you want to know what your level is and see if you can achieve a 99, mm-hmm. download Attack, yeah. ATAC, Apple App Store, Google Play Store, and then share it with us. If you get a 99, share it and tag us. And we want to know what you did because we want 99s across the board.
I want a 99 also. No one's letting me get a 99 in speed. Like that's just possible. Yeah, like my peak is 70. So
wow, that's you know what? Let's start the show right there.
I'm not very fast.
Can we get a Chenzo update when like I know kind of where you're going, where you're not going, and when you weren't registered mm-hmm. for the Feral, people started asking like, "Hey, where's Chenzo?" Can we get a Chenzo update?
Yeah, so I just I'm recovering from a shoulder surgery I had over the summer. So hopefully not too much longer. And any day now, I'll be back full swing. But, you know, just giving it as much time as I need to recover. But, yeah, that's really where I'm at right now. I'm just kind of on the cusp of getting back into it full, like, all the way. So I don't want to push it too much. However, kind of chomping at the bit to get going here.
I can imagine you're excited to get back on the mat.
Yeah, this is the longest I've ever gone without wrestling.
So I assume you're not thinking senior nationals.
No.
Because that's 4 weeks away.
Yeah, I might pop in, you know, we'll see how this next week and a half goes. But probably thinking last chance, unfortunately. But if that's what we gotta do, that's what we gotta do.
Hey, if you're not in it until the last chance, that's just gonna be fireworks. Like I feel bad for anybody who has to beat you because it's only the last chance qualifier champion who goes to the trials. So
yeah, thanks. Thanks for reminding me. yeah. You know,
by the way,
it's all good.
I to be very clear on the record, I feel bad for everybody else, not you.
Yeah. I'm not gonna say that, because it's just like, it's a tough position to be in no matter who you are. But whatever I got to do to get the job done is what I got to do to go wrestle the trials.
I love
it. It's tough competition, man. These guys are good. So
yeah, we're going to dive right into it. We're going to first talk freestyle. We're going to talk Bill Farrell a little bit, and then we'll talk college. So I guess we'll dive right into the Farrell. It was a pretty good field. You know, the first couple rounds are kind of like the U.S. Open. You get some people that I don't know how realistic some guys are in thinking they're going to make it to the trials.
You get first round of the Open. You get Mark Hall versus Kinchazi in the first round.
We're gonna get to that 86 kilos, because the fact that that tournament, so a little context too, to set the show up. I've been doing a lot of Bash in the Brain shows with our guy Willie, and I never know, like, I'll get a random text or he'll get a random text from me, and it's like, let's do a show. But half the time he just decides to let it rip at 2 a.m. and I wake up and find out he's already done a show. So I'm all good with that. I'm not going to, anything. He basically did all the results. So if you want that, go listen to Willie and do that show. My only frustration is, like, I'll text him, we'll talk takes and stuff, and he'll take my take and refute it on air. And I'm like, you can't do that without giving me the chance to talk about it and give some context.
You got to be able to defend yourself a little bit.
Yeah. So, but he did talk about some of these things, so I'm not going to dive in too much, because I don't want there to be too much redundancy if you listen to Willie's show. But he did touch on the pin system and how it just doesn't work. I mean, you can't have a guy like Kinchazi, who's a 2018 world silver medalist, not be ranked at all. And we'll talk about Mark Hall in a few minutes, but even early on here at 57, you had Luke Lilidahl, the one seed.
Yeah.
And you had Nico Megalutis, the 2, Cooper Flynn, the 3, Spencer Lee, the 4. The seeds didn't really make sense. I don't really think they matter too much, but you definitely, like, at this weight anyways, but you definitely got to fix it, because that pin system is just goofy.
Yeah, I don't really know what that is or how that works, but the seeding in this tournament was definitely interesting. I mean, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like the first criteria first seed, and like, you can't really gauge this, but like, maybe just like use your brain or eyeball for the first criteria, like, and then we could do whatever system that is after, because like, Luke Lilidahl is a phenomenal wrestler, and like, he's young and he's up and coming, and I think he's gonna be great. But like, you have guys like Spencer Lee and Nico Megalutis in that way. I don't know, it just like literally doesn't make any sense to me to seed him above those guys, but we're talking about just a regular tournament here, so it doesn't matter a ton, but I definitely get what you're saying.
And you got to work the kinks out for the tournaments where it's either more important, or if the Bill Farrell were to catch on and you have more international guys, but they don't have I believe the pin system comes from Track Wrestling Profiles, and if you don't have one there, you basically don't get a pin ranking, which is asinine. But yeah, 57 kilos, Spencer Lee looked pretty good.
I think he looked great.
So one of the things that Willie said that I didn't get to kind of give my side of it was, we were talking about the tournament and the weights, and I said that, like, I'm sure number one, Spencer Lee, was not happy with a 7-4 win in the finals, and I'm sure Hawkeye fans weren't really either, because if you're Spencer, number one, that, like, Nico Megalutis, no disrespect to him, but he's a 61-kilo guy coming down, and he's a full-time financial advisor. If you're Spencer Lee, and, like, your expectations are a lot higher. So, like, Willie had said, like, oh, if Nico won 7-4, yeah, that would be huge. If he knocks off a 3-time NCAA champion who just graduated versus Spencer, you want to see that he can really manhandle people to give you that confidence heading into the trials.
Oh, this is going to be complete. My taste is so much different. I think he wrestled such a smart match. And
hey, that's what you're here for. You're the wrestler.
Yeah. No, I think he wrestled a smart match. I think he wrestled great. Nico Megalutis is a tough out. Nico beat Seth Gross. Nico beat Seth Gross, the year that Seth was on the team. too, and everything. And then Nico ended up getting hurt wrestling him at the trials, and that wasn't great. But no, Nico's very good, and he's gonna bring it the entire time. I think Spencer did a great job of picking his spots and defending Nico rather than just going out and trying to 10-0 him and blow his load. I think he wrestled a full match, and that's what impressed me the most about Spencer over the weekend, was that he was able to wrestle a full 6 minutes that match against Nico and win pretty decisively, capitalize and get his takedowns when it was time to, and, you know, prevent Nico from getting on a roll. And that's what impressed me most about Spencer over the weekend, honestly.
Yeah, and it makes sense. Like, you know, because I was looking back at it, I'm trying to think, like, okay, we're looking at the other side of it. Part of the reason, too, is the last time we saw, aside from, I think, a Rockfin card, the last time we saw Spencer was at the Olympic trial qualifier in 2019. And it was tech over Vito Ruggia, and then an 8-2 win over Nato. So we don't typically see, or we haven't seen it in a long time, he wrestles a closer match, and he's so dominant for so long that if he wrestles a closer match, I feel like you naturally just say, because Spencer is so good, his expectations are just so high. But you're 100% right. Like, he wrestled a smart match.
Yeah, I think it's great to see him win those close matches too. Because like we said, you know, over the years, it's just like, if he doesn't dominate you, what's going to happen? Mm-hmm. And he didn't, he kind of dominated that match from, you know, just like, when he scored. In that perspective, to me, it didn't look like the closest wrestling match ever. The score might have been a little closer. But, like, I still think that's a pretty dominant, decisive victory, and that if he can keep wrestling that way going through, because, you know, he's wrestling grown men. You know, he's not wrestling college kids anymore. And he's had a lot of success doing that. But to get further, you know, in his field where he's going to be wrestling Gilmans and stuff like that. Like, if he goes out and tries to 10-0 Gilman, you know, in the first minute or two, you know, that might end up going well for him. So, like, he needs to be able to, you know, wrestle that full 6 minutes and pick his spots, and I think he did a great job.
Yeah, and I assume he's going to go overseas for one of these tournaments in January, February. I know that Henry Delane, some people are going to, I think, the Zagreb Open maybe. So I'm sure I don't know what the tournaments are where they're going to prioritize the national team members. So that might be the only thing that kind of dictates the schedule. But yeah, you're right in the sense that too, because he has been so dominant and he doesn't wrestle a full match that often, we don't see his gas tank that often. And his gas tank looked fine. His gas tank, and Nico's pace is absolutely insane. He's a maniac.
That's what I'm saying. Like, for him to, you know, wrestle a solid 6 minutes and shut him down, I think that was a great job.
Yeah. And Luke Lilladol looked great. Not in the Spencer match where he got 11-0'd, but the kid's a high schooler. I mean, he went out there. I thought he looked decent. What'd you think of that, of his performance?
No, I think he's great. You know, I don't think he's ready for Spencer Lee just yet. And I don't really think many guys are. That's totally fine. I see some dogs in the background. Your camera through the door there. But,
they're just off screen. Yeah.
I think Luke Lilladol, as far as like a high schooler, when it comes to like hand and foot movement, like hand fighting and stuff, I think he's so good.
Like, and Daniel DeShazer, that was a tough match. He beat DeShazer 2-1, who's constantly right there. And he's just.
Yeah. He's beating senior level guys. Aiden Valencia at the next weight, high school kid, he's beating senior level guys. The young kids are good, man.
The future of USA Wrestling is bright, that's for sure. So, yeah, that was 57. Spencer Lee is now qualified for the Olympic trials. Nico Megalutis will head to the senior nationals to look to qualify there. Where, what is it, the top four, I believe, at senior nationals qualify?
I want to say top five, but it might be top four. But.
Let me look right now just to avoid anybody having to comment. Yeah, top five. Top five at senior nationals, last chance qualifier, NCAA champ, Pan Am championship champion, and Pan Am Olympic qualifier. Which I feel like, I don't know why they brought that in. I'm not sure at what weight that's going to, 57 and 65 are the only weights that need to be qualified. And I don't know how The guys that can qualify at 65 are Lee, Yanni, Zane. They're already qualified. And the guys who can challenge at 57 are, what, Gilman, Vito, and Zane. So I don't know why that's in there. Must be a snare I'm not thinking about. 65.
I don't know.
You know, Chenzo's residing from Arizona right now. So he's probably got some thoughts and a little insight. We were talking earlier, Caleb Larkin. I predicted Jesse Mendez over DeSanto. And this thing after the – and both went down in the quarters. What was your thoughts in this weight? I mean, Caleb Larkin had an amazing tournament.
Caleb Larkin is really good and really hard to wrestle. He just – it's just a different feel compared to most people that you're going to wrestle. And he wrestles very, very hard the whole match also. So, like, you don't get a second to take a break with that guy. But, yeah, I figured he was going to be a tough out for whoever he had to wrestle. I think he did a great job. It was a really good feel, too. I think the guys that you just mentioned, Mendez and DeSanto, are really good. And I thought that a lot of people probably would have had them in the finals as well. But Kolodzic taking out DeSanto. Kolodzic had a really good tournament.
He did.
Until the finals, I would say. And he even came out looking good against Caleb also. But Caleb knows how to wrestle. He knows how to win. Little forward to leg lace was pretty nice there. But, yeah, I think it was a good kind of good to gauge where Caleb is, like, against these senior level guys. And just seeing him at practice and, like, watching him wrestle, I had a good feeling that he was going to do well. But I'm impressed, though.
That Arizona room has a lot of banged-up guys right now, and I know some of the fans are, you know, it stinks. College athletics is very tough when, like, you get very excited for your team, and then there's injuries. Or, I mean, you see something that doesn't happen. The Bills, for example. The Bills should be Super Bowl champions this year. They're not going to be. Because of injuries. You know, it's very tough when injuries strike your team.
I think they should keep Dawson Knox on the sidelines for a little bit longer. But
him and Kincaid together is going to be a wonderful combination.
Just Kincaid is good. We like just Kincaid.
Oh, you have in your fantasy, don't you?
I don't know what you're talking about, but keep this
Hey, I'm rooting for
Dalton Kincaid. We got to keep rolling.
I'm okay with Kincaid continuing to get all the receptions. At least let Knox be on the field in a distraction for more balls to go to Kincaid. Yeah. So
yeah, he's still got that wrist thing.
Yeah. So, but yeah, Larkin gave Arizona State fans a lot to be excited about. He's redshirting this year, right? And that's not. I don't think that's changing. He's redshirting. A lot of excitement there. And then DeSanto did beat Lugo in the backside, which that's kind of how, you know, I was talking to Corby and he had thought Lugo over DeSanto because 65 is more Lugo's weight. And I said, look at, I like DeSanto over Lugo. And sure enough, in the semis in the backside, they wrestle. DeSanto wins a close one 2-1 and then blows the doors off Yaya Thomas 13-3.
Those guys are on the same team at 33 and 49, huh?
Yeah.
DeSanto and Lugo, yeah.
And now they're wrestling at 65 kilos. Crazy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Caleb Larkin. I mean, that it's going to be interesting to see. His run at the Farrell kind of reminded me of Andrew Alira's a couple years ago at Senior Nationals. 65 kilos, college guy. You're not watching him too much in the senior level. All of a sudden, he shows up, and you're like, dang. I mean, 65, you know, Nick Lee, Yanni, Zane. You got some.
It's a tough weight.
But hey, you know you're gonna be.
Joey McKenna.
Yeah.
Gotta respect Joey McKenna's name.
Well, to be fair, I was looking real quick at the Olympic trial qualifiers, and he's not on there. And I just read the
just
three
kidding.
Guys who are.
Just kidding. No, no more respect on Joey McKenna's name.
Hey, he just did you? I don't know if you saw his match with Yanni overseas. He won a close one over Yanni at the in the Kazakhstan tournament earlier in the month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Joey. Joey should be at Senior Nationals. Joey's probably. I'm picking Joey to win Senior Nationals next month.
I just feel like Joey, Yanni, and Nick Lee. You put them in a round robin, you're gonna get a different winner almost every time.
And then you throw in Zayn coming down back down to 65.
Zayn back down. And Alvarez has wins over Nick Lee and McKenna also.
Alvarez the beast.
I mean, yeah, he's good, man. He's good.
65 kilos is going to be fun, not only at Olympic trials, but senior nationals next month. That's going to be a fun weight to watch. So, yeah, Caleb Larkin. We might have to get him on here soon for a little quick interview.
See what we can do.
Yeah, we got it. You, me, and Luke Gardner said we were going to do Wrestler of the Week.
Who was our? We didn't pick one for this week.
We didn't, but I'm thinking it's Caleb Larkin.
I pick Caleb Larkin for my Wrestler of the Week.
I think he's my Wrestler of the Week. Do you remember who the last two are? We might as well just officially declare them.
Our first Wrestler of the Week. Oh man, I don't remember.
Let me look. Was it?
Who was the high school kid that
Joey beat, Blaze? Was it Joey Blaze?
No, it was the kid that beat Blaze. That's we made it the kid that beat Blaze.
That's right.
I don't remember that. We could just talk in circles for a little bit here.
The Wrestler of the Week. I'm trying to back to the.
You mean the JCL Beast of the Week?
Beast of the Week. Oh, Ryan Crookham last week. Ryan Crookham takes out Vito Ruja and his teammate Connor McGonagall last week. So that was the week two Wrestler of the Week, Ryan Crookham.
Week one was Palmer from Chattanooga.
Okay. All right. Wrestler of the Week. It's official.
Brandon JCL. Palmer was Wrestler of the Week for week one. We'll just say... That's a mouthful.
All right, Wrestler of the Week, 1, 2, and 3. There you go.
Two college guys, and then we'll just do senior level one.
Yeah, I mean, it's all around the board. We can pick a high schooler if we want it. We can pick whatever. We just do what we want.
It's your show. You can do whatever you want, man.
Hey, it's kind of our show. I always I was just showing somebody your bio the other day on Twitter. I love it. It's such a little pick-me-up. It's like nothing... NCAA champion, this accolade, that accolade, nothing. Just co-host on Bashmania Coffee Talk. Like, that's my guy.
Yeah. Well, you see those guys that are like 50 and they have like national champ in their bio.
So, me and my guy, Don Bishada, we laugh all the time because our boy, Eric Siebert, for the longest time, and Siebert's the man. I love Siebert. He, like, what a lot of wrestlers do. When they're done competing, is they don't get a new email address. So Eric Siebert, his email address is like esiebert150 or whatever. But so many wrestlers do that. They just keep their weight in their email address forever.
We don't have a number, so like that's what we get.
Yeah, hey, I would love to, I might just add my weight to my email address, like jbash215 bash. just throw it in there.
Just what you weigh.
Like
that
people
day.
Who meet Siebert now, they don't know the backstory. What's 150? Oh, shout out Siebert. He's the man. All right, so 74, Chenzo's weight. We were talking about this weight, and I had pretty much said Chenzo. Nolf has really kind of separated himself from the pack. You have Dakin Burrows kind of at the top. And then Nolf has really separated himself from the pack for the most part, except for when he wrestles his teammates, you and Carter. He's wrestled close matches with you guys, and I feel like that crew of the Penn State kids is like, you have Burrows and Dake who've held the spot down collectively for, 11, 12 years now. And then you have a small group, and then I feel like it's everybody else. And one kid who did impress me this weekend was Quincy Monday, because Nolf teched Marinelli in the finals 11-0, teched Kemmerer 10-0 in the semis, but had a close 7-6 match with Quincy in the quarters.
Yeah, Quincy looked great. I think that was an awesome, kind of senior level coming out party for Quincy, and I think he's right there, with a lot of the good guys at that weight now too. Is he teched Berger on the backside also. That's a really good quality win. And it's hard to look at consolation repechage matches at tournaments like that for really any any value. But no, his match, I just, again, eyeball test, watching Quincy, he looked really good. He looked really explosive. He was shooting both sides. You know, it was hard to grab him, hard to get a hold of him, and he gave no fits, you know, the whole match. I think Quincy kind of coming onto the scene. I think he's, you know, I think he's legit, and I think he's good. But back to Nolf, I agree with you. I think he looked great. I think I think he takes it a little personally when he wrestles Iowa guys.
His record against Iowa guys, both in college and freestyle. Like, has he ever lost to an Iowa guy?
Well, he doesn't lose very much, so.
Well, that helps. That helps the record.
I'm going to go with no. But yeah, you know, he looked like himself out there. He looked good. He looked like he was excited to be there. I do think that, I mean, I guess outside their matches with Nova, I do think Cameron Marinelli looked good also, though.
As a wrestler, I'm curious, I find myself a lot of times waiting matches in the Olympic year based on what their true weight or non-Olympic weight is. So, like, for example, for Berger, I'm thinking, well, he's a 70-kilo guy, so I don't put as much emphasis on a result. Or if somebody's coming down from 79 sometimes, too, I'm like, oh, it might be a cut. How much do you factor that in, both when you're competing or just watching it, like factoring in, you know, a guy moving away?
It's definitely tough. You know, switching weight classes isn't easy, and especially if you're wrestling somewhere above or below where you're comfortable, that you're used to competing at. But I wouldn't knock a guy like Berger though or anything like that, because he's, you know, he's a professional and he's you know, he can be big enough for the weight, and he's a good wrestler. I'm sure, like, that was his first time up there since 21, so it'll probably take him a little bit to kind of figure the weight out and stuff. I don't think it holds a lot of value, but it still holds some.
Well, one, he did wrestle at Pan Ams. I don't remember what the competition was, but he did wrestle up at 74 at Pan Ams.
Right.
But he looked good. Yeah, he doesn't look like a guy who, there's some guys who, when they bump up, they look small for the weight. Berger doesn't look small. Berger looks,
no,
he looks great.
He can get bigger. You know, he's a guy that he'll probably have to do some extra work to keep that weight on. But yeah, I mean, he's a good wrestler. So, like, for Quincy, that's a great win.
Yeah. No, Quincy had a great tournament. I'm sure we're going to see, you know, Nolf's obviously qualified now for Senior Nationals. And I'm sure we see most of these guys again next month at Senior Nationals. I don't think anybody who went here is not going to Senior Nationals. Like, if you're going to the Bill Farrell right now, it's to try to qualify for the Olympic Trials. So if you didn't win,
you're a foreigner.
Unless you're a foreigner, assume they're going to be at the trials. It'll be cool. You're going to, I think, not only get maybe some of these matches again, but I think you're going to see different pairings. We might get a Marinelli or a Skemmer. You don't know. But yeah, Monday.
I'd like to see that too.
That would be a good match to see. So, yep. 86, Mark Hall, and just a world silver medalist. Mark Hall, the 2 seed, wrestles the world silver medalist, unseeded, drops that 185, wins 5 straight, and beats him on the backside for 3rd. Love to see that. This weight was interesting. Trent Hidley.
What a weekend.
Trent Hidley, I was talking about it before with Corby, because he predicted Trent Hidley to win the thing.
Did he?
Yeah. And I said, you know, Hidley is what I think I predicted Hall over Derringer, with one of them beating him in the semi. So was wrong again on this weight. He looks good. Hidley has constantly been a top 2, top 3, top 4 guy, and sometimes he struggles to get the NCAA win, the whatever. He looked great this weekend. He looked absolutely great. Beat Conchese in a barn burner, 14-10. He was firing all cylinders.
Yeah. Trent's always right there, you know, like you just said. And I think it was awesome for him to break through. And he had a few very good wins. over the weekend, and now, you know, he just gets to kind of focus on college season, then get ready for the trials whenever it's time. So that's awesome for him. And he just keeps getting better. And it's just like you know, minor improvements, and it's a lot of the same stuff, but he just gets better at it. And he's awesome to watch too, because he's really never out of a match.
Yep.
He's gonna keep trying to run through you, and I think he's pretty awesome. Just
he's got a 99 speed score.
I don't know what his speed score is. I don't
he
know
should
his
have
score
one,
is, but his strength and mental should be up there with the best. But I've known that dude for a long time, and watching him have success, it's pretty cool. I'm actually gonna pull it up and see if I can find his attack app score right now.
Well, he does so much with attack. I don't know when the last time they scored his.
Okay, so on his no way. There's no way his strength is only a 78. That's I call bull crap. It's a strong boy right there.
That is a strong boy. I
flexibility
gotta find out.
99. Well, that's where you gotta get it. You gotta get the flexibility up at 99.
And agility 99.
Yeah, but. Just back to Trent as a wrestler and not as an attack athlete. I think a finals win over Ringer is awesome for him too, because that's just, you know, just another good win over an established guy that's been winning matches forever.
Yeah, no, I agree.
He just keeps racking him up. He's a problem. I wouldn't want to have to wrestle him.
No, and you know, one point that Willie was making is, you know, there seems to be multiple levels with how deep the USA is right now. And whether or not you think a guy can make a team or not is a different conversation too, versus him being a problem. And somebody like Trent taking somebody out who might make the team, or like, obviously there's levels. And sometimes it's like when you have almost every, I think in every weight at the trials, you're going to have a world or Olympic champion. I think except, no, 65, you'll have Zane. Yeah, every weight, you'll have a world or Olympic champ. So it's like, yeah, there's different levels to this. But number one, you saw like the Frank Molinaros, the Jaden Cox, who, you know, were 9 seeds at the trials. But two, a guy like Trent can take anybody out at any point in the bracket and cause chaos.
Yeah. No, that's gonna be a fun weight, and they're all gonna be fun weights. They're all loaded.
Yeah, speaking of fun, 97 kilos, same thing. Like, you kind of have Snyder and Cox at the top, but here this weekend, our guy Mike Mock. I mean, that dude just straight brings it. He just straight brings it.
He's so he's very consistent and just consistently getting better and better and better.
Yeah, he 10-0, 10-0, 11-0. And then beat Jacob Warner 4-0 in the finals. Jacob Warner beating Italy's Ben Hannes in the semis 4-4.
Ben, finish your leg attacks, dude. Come.
More foreigners in the tournament.
Yeah, Ben straight from Italy. That was an interesting match. I don't know if you watched that one.
The Warner Hannes one?
Yeah.
I caught the end of it. I didn't see the whole match.
Oh, the end of it. That was really it. That was the whole match.
Yeah.
But yeah. Good to see Mock doing this thing, and he gets better every year, and everyone loves him. That's my Mike Mock.
Dude, he's the best. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hannes did have a good win over Tim Dudley first round, 16-5. That was a good win for Italy's Ben Hannes.
For the Italian Stallion.
All right, so then 125 was pretty chalk. You had Nick Gwizdowski taken out.
I didn't watch one match at this weight, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, so it was pretty uneventful, pretty chalk. Nick Gwizdowski qualifies for the trials. No kind of shocker there. Yeah. Beats Christian Lance.
Good job, Gwiz.
So that was the Farrell. Next major tournament U.S.-wise is December 17th and 18th, Senior Nationals. Registration should start coming out soon for that. Roman did let me know he's wrestling next weekend. I know Austin Gomez is too. I don't know if Anthony Valencia, a couple of the other guys are. But the Mexican National Grand Prix, I believe, is next weekend. So Roman's going to be wrestling down in 57. I believe that's his first time down in 57.
First time making that.
Yeah.
He'll be fine. I'm so excited to see him wrestle freestyle this year. That's going to be great.
He's the best. I love that kid. So that's freestyle. Let's do a quick ad read. This episode is also brought to you today by Beat the Streets. Beat the Streets makes a lifelong impact on more than 2,500 New York City boys and girls through their free year-round programs. You can help thousands of underserved New York City youth experience the life-changing power of wrestling with a tax-deductible donation today to Beat the Streets, which has set a $250,000 goal for its year-end campaign. So every donation helps. Make your donation today at btsny.org. That's btsny.org. All right, let's talk some random college thoughts before we talk a little All-Star Classic. You and I were kind of laughing about it because it's like, I feel like November, you and I are both the same. Like, we're invested, but we're also watching college football on Saturday. We're also watching Steelers Bills on Sunday. So there's a lot of like, there's a lot of high level overview watching what's going on, but it's not like where you're in the trenches. Even starting like December, I feel like CKLV starts rolling around, some stuff like that. But there's a lot of different things to talk about. I've got a couple different points written down.
All right. I like that because I have nothing.
Yeah, right at the top, we kind of touched on it. ASU is half a team right now.
Yeah, they're a little banged up, man. some injury complications, but nothing too serious. One of their guys is going to be out for a little longer. But they'll have some guys coming back here shortly, and you know the more precautionary stuff than anything at this point in the year, which I think is smart. You know, I definitely would have liked to see some matches, but it's all good. And getting rolled by Missouri is never fun.
Rolled is a good way to put it.
they're just gonna kind of stomp there. I mean, Missouri's a good team too.
I don't think Rocky Elam wrestled. But yeah, ASU's got to get healthy. They got so much talent on that team, but it's tough, man. Injuries, especially early in the year. Gabe Arnold, impressive debut for Iowa. We've seen a lot of true freshmen come out of the gate excited, and you make big debuts at, I don't care if it's Rec Hall, Carver Hawkeye, those butterflies. We've seen wrestlers succumb to them. He looked awesome. He takes out Travis Whitlake, top 10 guy. Opening match, Carver Hawkeye. I think that says a lot for the future of Gabe at Iowa.
Are they going to be wrestling him, like starting him this year?
They haven't really said. I think after you see that, you take another look at it and be like, man, if he can take out the number 9 guy in the country – why would you not? Especially when Iowa's lineup is kind of taking a beating right now.
Right.
With the gambling boys.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if they want to sit, like, you know, kind of like gear up, save him for next year, or just let him go if he's the best guy at the weight, if he can do some damage, because I don't see why not if he's ready to go, unless they're like kind of saving up for next year. But
I mean, he's won 6 matches. He's looked great. And it's not like you have anybody. I think Aiden Riggins is, you know.
Yeah. Aiden Riggins was a pretty good recruit also. But, no, even whenever I'd watch Arnold in high school, like, he just, like, he has, like, that different pop about him, you know. Mm-hmm. If he can figure out college wrestling and keep doing what he's doing, I don't see why not. I think he'll be kind of a threat right away. Maybe not, you know, a threat to the top guy at that weight, but maybe everyone else. I don't see why.
And if you can take a top 10 guy out right out of the gate, well, you might be a little bit nervous.
Yeah.
You know, obviously he wasn't Nelson Brands.
He has so much more to grow.
Yeah. Nelson Brands, it was the starter. This was going to be Nelson Brands' final year. And with all the gambling stuff going on, it looks like Nelson might not be able to wrestle. So I don't think, you know, I thought obviously going into the year, Gabe Arnold's probably, based on the personality I've seen, he's probably like, put me in, coach. Let me wrestle. This is your call. Yeah, and no, just, I want to go.
I don't know the kid, but I just seen him around and Just seeing him at camp, stuff like that. He definitely seems like that type of guy. He wants all the smoke and he wants to go right away, which is awesome. And you love to see it. I mean, and if he is ready and if he's wrestling great, then like, you know, that just makes the Penn State Iowa match more interesting too.
And we don't even got to wait for the Penn State Iowa match, because I'll tell you what, one of my points for college wrestling discussion, Iowa versus Iowa State next weekend. Yeah. And this is WrestleStat has it right now. Their prediction based on their systems, whatever, is Iowa 16, Iowa State 15, with Iowa winning the first five and Iowa State winning the second five. And this is, you know, one of those matches that they have going Iowa State's way with MJ Gaten over Aiden Riggins. So could be interesting where you could see his impact. That match right there, I think I said it on the Crystal Ball Show with Willie. I think Iowa State wins this. You have five guys from Iowa that are favored to win, and arguably five guys from Iowa State who could favor to win. But I think the Iowa State underdogs have a higher probability of pulling upsets, like Swiderski over Voinovich. So it wouldn't surprise me if already they want to use Gabe Arnold and say one match is likely going to make this duel, which either side you pick, I think it's going to be a one match swing. So I think they could probably benefit from his presence right out of the gate.
How do you think that that 57 match is going to go?
Man, that's a tough one. I think you have to favor Franek on paper, but Chittum. So
is
Chittum,
an enigma.
But here's the other thing. Chittum was, at one point, he first committed to Minnesota, then Iowa. Here was an Iowa commit, and now Iowa State has him on the graphic today for match week.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, there's a little bit of, like, you know, flipping the commitment to Iowa State, and now here you're in a big duel, big match at Iowa State.
I think
Chittum 100% can win this match. I think, again, Franek's no doubt the favorite, but Chittum?
Yeah, for sure.
But Chittum, I think he could pull this one off.
Franek's very good, but I'm gonna go with the upset, as I like.
And here's my prediction. If Chittum wins, I think 1,000% we see Gabe Arnold wrestle. Because then you basically need Gabe to save the duel. If Chittum wins,
what day is that? Friday?
Sunday at like 2 or 3.
Okay.
Not ideal timing for, you know, but we got football Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So.
Oh yeah, we're good. We have plenty of that to go around.
Yeah,
that's an exciting duel, though. I'm sure I'll be tuned in for that one.
And it's on ESPN, which is pretty cool. Burroughs is on the call. It's gonna be it's gonna be a good duel. Yeah, I'm picking Iowa State to win. Based on what I said, I think the Iowa State underdogs have more potential to pull off an upset. And I think, you know, some of these guys like Feldkamp, Carr, I think they could do some damage, maybe get some majors. Carr Caliendo is going to be an interesting match. So speaking of Iowa State blanked Wisconsin yesterday, just shut them out. I will say shout out Dean Hamity for going to that and wrestling the number two guy in the country. And then tomorrow he's going to the All-Star Classic. Could have very easily just taken the weekend off gearing up for the All-Star Classic. I do love that he put it on the line. He showed up. That was obviously the marquee matchup.
100%.
Yep.
You know, he has nothing to lose by going to wrestle David Carr except for just the match itself. But like, in the grand scheme of things, really nothing to lose. So
yeah,
I don't blame.
And it was a close match. 2-0. Carr rode him out in the third period to win 2-0. Carr wrestles a lot of close matches that are smart like that.
Yeah, he's a good winner. He's underrated top wrestler for sure.
Yeah. So a couple more points here. Couple Penn State tidbits. Put the graphic out last week, but it is official. Facundo is redshirting. Messenbrink is in for the year. I think that's going to be interesting. I think that's the best thing for Penn State fans for their looking at their lineup for the next couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be just really hard to beat, right? Like, no matter how you look at it, like, no, it didn't really matter what they did in that 57-65 situation with three guys that they have there that are all pretty dang good. I don't really think it mattered.
And that's kind of one of my next questions for you is your thoughts on the 125 situation. You had at the Black Knight Open, Robbie Howard goes down in the semis. Braden Davis, who's redshirting this year, beats the guy who beat Howard. And, you know, some people are saying, pull Braden's redshirt. Why? Let him. I don't think Penn State gains much. You're already going to win everything. The point differential is so high this year. I don't know that it's, like, beneficial to pull a redshirt if it doesn't really gain the team anything.
I agree with that. It's just like a Penn State fan thing. They just want them to beat every team 60-0, you know? But I don't know. I mean, like, Robbie, I understand he's having a rough start to the season. And, you know, like, you could probably see that coming a little bit just because of all the things he's had to deal with in the past few years, all the injuries. I think you give Rob a few more opportunities here, though, right? I think you have to, just with his track record, what he's, like, the matches he's won in the past and just everything he's done to get his body healthy to be where he is right now. I think you got to give him a few more opportunities and just see if he can kind of, you know, get back in his groove. Because if Rob Howard kind of, you know, gets himself back together, and it's really hard to come back from injuries like that, but if he can and if he can be effective, he's very good. He's very, very good. He can do a lot of very good wrestling moves, and he's a tough dude. So if he can figure it out, obviously he's not where he wants to be right now, and I feel for the dude. But if Robbie can figure a few things out here, they gave him a few more chances, and I think he'll be just fine. But if not, you don't necessarily need to pull a redshirt either, because they don't need, you know, a stud 125 to win a national title. They could win a national title without a 125 pounder, probably. Mm-hmm. So that's just, like, if you're them, you just gotta look at it from that. But I don't know, like, they seem to do a great job every year. So
yeah, no, so, I agree, like, with you. I agree with you. It's just always better to have somebody with your experience say the same thing that I say, because then people actually care about it. They listen.
Yeah, I mean, I think Penn State's done just a fine job without an effective 125 for the past few years.
The other funny thing about a situation like this where you have, like, multiple kids and there's like a poll of who should start, who should redshirt, it is crazy already the number of times it's, where is he going to transfer to? When's he going into the portal? Not just about, like, a 125-pound situation at Penn State, but anywhere. Like, you see with, like, Crookham beats McGonagall, and,
like, where's McGonagall?
And it's the transfer. It's crazy how quick that, like, instantly. And I get it. I do think it's exaggerated right now how people are bringing it up so quickly. Like, let's calm down. Somebody loses a wrestle off, they're not out the door the next day. Calm down a little bit.
They're college wrestlers, right? They're 20, 22-year-old kids, you know?
Now, like, the COVID kids are out, they're 20 to 22.
Yeah. Just because they lose a match doesn't mean they want to uproot their whole life. Mm-hmm. Some of them will, but, like...
No, definitely. And by the way, if it's the right move, great, go for it. But the number of comments on posts, like a Crookham McGonagall situation, are comical. All right, speaking of McGonagall, he's actually wrestling the All-Star Classic. Let's run through this lineup real quick.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So we'll kind of talk about that, because, you know, we'll give our picks real quick and kind of just go through the lineup. But it is funny that already you have so many kind of shakeups, and not, I mean, I guess some are big upsets, but you start out of the gate with Matt Ramos and Anthony Noto, who were number one and number two. And then Ramos obviously takes that loss to Joey Blaze. And already it's just funny how the first couple weeks of the season, have already started to change things up. Like, we'll talk about McGonagall in a minute, but even Ramos Noto. I'm going Noto with this. Section 5 kid from here in New York, Hunyori Falls.
I'm going
Noto here. I think he gets it.
All right, well, that means I'm picking Ramos if you're picking.
Oh, I love that.
Because I'm gonna pick Ramos, a.k.a. The Spencer Lee pinner.
The Spencer Lee killer.
The Spencer Lee killer. Nah, I obviously he has a great win in his repertoire. I think Matt Ramos is good, though.
He's very good.
He drops matches like everyone else does. But I'm going to go with Ramos. He can do some really crafty stuff.
I think Matt Ramos, I agree with you. I think Matt Ramos is more of a threat later in the season. That's another reason I'm going Noto. But I agree with you. Ramos has that big move potential.
Don't worry, Ramos. I still stand with you, dog.
Yeah. No, Ramos, hey, if you're listening, I think you're going to do great in March.
All right. He's
fine. Dude, 125 is wide the heck open. Mm-hmm. Wide open.
Oh, you know, I got Richie.
Yeah, I mean, Richie hopefully gets back on the mat soon. He's one of those guys that could just – yeah.
Richie can scrap. Richie's good.
Richie can scrap. That's an understatement. All right, so 33, you have guys now who have both already taken losses. You have Sam Latona, who took a loss, and you have Connor McGonigal, who took a loss.
My goodness. I straight up haven't watched either of these guys wrestle very much. Like,
it's early, dude. It's mid-November.
No, like just over their career.
Oh, okay. Like, well, yeah. Okay, then.
Yeah. I don't know their game too well.
I'm going Latona here. Just based on principle.
You know what that means. That's
yeah.
Me.
Yeah. So you're going to go McGonagall. You'll probably go 2-0 in here.
I do.
Yeah. I think Latona, he lost to Vito and Mendez last year at NCAAs, but I thought otherwise he had,
they're both good.
And he lost. The Jesse Mendez was a 2-1 loss in overtime, and the Vito loss was 8-5. Vito, obviously the best guy in the world, went on to win a world championship. I think Latona gets it done here.
Yeah, I'm going to go with McGonagall just because of everything you just said. No, I don't know either of the guys too much.
Yeah, no, so that's fair.
I'm going to go with the other one that just lost to his teammate because, you know, he's going to need to reassert his dominance.
It sounds like your hungry dogs run faster is your mantra here. So,
so far it is.
All right. Well, let's see if you stick with it here. Number three, Lachlan McNeil of UNC taking on Josh Coderhant of Navy.
Who?
That's what I said initially. Navy's Josh Coderhant. He's ranked 9th. I didn't know who he was either. Intermat has him ranked 18th right now. I'm going McNeil just because I didn't know who
no
Josh
respect
was.
To Josh Coderhant. I don't know who that is either.
No disrespect, I think you mean.
I thought you said no respect. Right. No disrespect. Can I skip this one?
You don't want to just stick with the hungry dogs run faster just to make things interesting.
But I kind of want to pick McNeil.
Okay. I don't blame you.
I'm gonna go with Lachlan McNeil because he's Enoch Francois trained.
That's with
the new UNC coaching staff.
The new UNC regime.
Yes.
All right, 140. So, yeah, that's a.
Yeah. I don't know the other guy.
Yeah, that's fair. 149. Shane Van Ness versus Kyle Parco. This one, I don't know if you're gonna just next it. You know, you got your alma mater versus your current residence here. Mm-hmm. Number 2, Shane Van Ness versus number 3, Kyle Parco. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, two of my favorite guys too. So really play with my heart here. I'm expecting a really good, just quality wrestling match here. I'm going to drag it out a little bit before I pick my winner. But I think both these guys are very good, and I think both are title threats. I haven't seen Parker since last week. I kind of just want to see him. see how he's feeling right now.
Yeah, he wrestled three guys at the Journeyman Classic, got three pins. Shane Van Ness beat him at NCAA 7-2. I think Shane gets it done again.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with my guy then. This is gonna be such a split and hairs match for me, but I could see Parko getting a late takedown at the end of a period with a tough ride out to kind of put him in a lead. I could see that type of thing happening, but I don't know. But both these guys are both they're similar, but they're not. They're both great athletes. Mm-hmm. They are not give an inch and wrestle hard for 7 minutes. I am gonna go with Kyle Parko though. I'm gonna go with a little more experience, and Kyle Parko's hungry, man. He wants to win.
He's a dog.
So he is a dog, man. I'm gonna go with that dog. They're both dogs. You can't argue that with Shane either. But I'm gonna go with the Arizona guy. Go Kyle Parko.
All right. 157 was the original match was scratched. It was Levi Haynes and Chikori Teamer. Both are a little banged up. So they both kind of pulled out. Per my understanding, Jakari had that concussion or whatever it was a couple weeks ago. Levi got a little banged up too. So sounds like both were out. And they're replacing it with, if I heard this correctly, the D2 champ versus the D3 champ at the weight.
Yeah, I have it up right now. It's a D2 champ, Nick Novak, against the D3 champ, Nolan Hurdle.
Flip a coin for me.
Yeah, same.
You pick, and I'll take the other side.
I don't know.
Both of these guys, I'm sure, are very tough. I just don't follow a lot of D2, D3 wrestling. Yeah. Full transparency here.
Yeah, you know, we like what we like. I don't know. I'm gonna go with Nick Novak from St. Cloud State.
All right.
You got Nolan Hurdle from UW Lacrosse.
Let's go Nolan. All right, 65. Yeah. You got Dean Hamady, ranked fourth, versus Isaac Olzhenik from Oklahoma State. What are your thoughts on this match?
I think that Isaac kid's tough, but I think Dean Hamady is the real deal. I'm going to go with Dean Hamady I'm going to go with him by 5-2 a major.
Wow, pretty sound win. Yeah, I'm going to go Hamady as well. I think especially when you quickly come off that car loss, I'm sure, you know, obviously he's favored in this match, but kind of that hungry dogs run faster thing. I think when you come off a loss, you kind of know what you want to work on, especially when it's a close match, and I think he's going to use this as an opportunity to do that. So I'm going to go Hamady as well.
Yeah.
All right, 174, we got number one, Carter Starace, three-time NCAA champion. I believe he has the longest NCAA winning streak right now, versus Makai Lewis. I'm going Carter. Carter just...
Are there rideouts and double overtime at the All-Star Classic?
That's a good question. That's a good question.
I'm going to go Carter also. I mean, there's nothing here to have me choose otherwise.
Yeah, no, I agree. 84 is an interesting one. Number one, Parker Kike.
That was quick.
Carter's beat him in the past. I think Carter's like two. How many times has Carter beat him?
I think he's 3-0.
Yeah, so it's like I three-time NCAA champ. He has a number of wins over him already. I'm sure people are listening saying the same thing. I think he's 2-0 against him, three-time returning champ. Carter gets it done again. 84 is a little bit more interesting. You have Parker Kikes in Northern Iowa versus Bernie Truax, formerly with Cal Poly, now at Penn State. I haven't watched Bernie a ton. I feel like the Pac-12 guys are always a little harder to watch throughout the year because the Pac-12 network just sucks. And, like, throwing on a random duel is impossible. I'm sure you can relate being at Stanford and having to be in the thick of it over there. So I haven't watched a whole lot of both of these guys.
Or Arizona State.
Yeah. What's your thought on this match?
I think it's a coin flip. I really do. I think both these guys are good at they're both pretty dynamic and can scramble. I don't know. I think Parker Kekhuizen's due for a big win.
Go ahead. No, I was gonna say in NCAAs they also literally flipped a coin. They each won a match. I mean, there was a 6-4 and a 6-5 win for each of them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying here, and I think these are two guys that are gonna be at the top of the weight pretty much the whole year. Kekhuizen's been right there on the cusp of Trent Hiley, Aaron Brooks, just like can't really ever beat those top guys. I think he gets this one next weekend and stays at the top of the rankings for a bit. That's my prediction.
Yeah, I think it's going to be super close. Obviously a Penn State fan, I have a bias, but I do think that guys that go in that Penn State room have I think they see a jump with that coaching. I think when you go into that room, it's hard not to – I don't care where you are. It's arguably the best coaching room in the country. I think you're going to get a little bit of that boost. I'm going to go Bernie because of that. I think Bernie with a little bit of a Penn State coaching boost gets it done here.
See, I see that kind of coming into, fruition towards end of the year.
Yeah, it could be.
That's how I'm going to see it. But he very well could come out and win this match either way. It could be Penn State bump, no Penn State bump. Bernie goes out and wins this match, or he does some new thing that he learned from Casey Cunningham and puts him on his back. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm sticking with Parker though.
Okay.
So I have one non Penn State pick other than obviously 49.
Yes. all right. So now we have number one Brooks versus number two Tanner Sloan. This is another Carter McKay for me. This is just, I think Brooks is going to go out and dominate this year, and I don't think this is an exception.
Same. Yeah, I got AB all day.
Yep.
I think Aaron Brooks is probably the best wrestler in college wrestling. I think he has been for the past couple years.
I agree. I wonder what the line would be if you could bet the Hodge going to a Penn State guy this year. It has to be a huge favorite, right? I mean, just between – you figure if Carter or Aaron win their fourth, there's no way they don't get it.
Unless Keegan O'Toole, pins to everybody. That's the only person I can –
Even still.
That's, the only
– Yeah.
That's a tough way, too.
Parker or – Brooks or Carter would have to take a loss for them not to get it as a four-timer.
I agree.
I think. That's the only reason Yanni didn't get it. Is he had the early season loss to Gomez. 285.
Who won the Lodge last year?
Mason Paris.
Yeah, I voted for you. I wanted Yanni to win. All right.
Yeah. 285 might be the match I'm most excited for. I think Greg Kirkfleet is down 10, 15 pounds. He looks lean. You got Wyatt Hendrickson, who is a beast, just won a U23 world title. He's won the award for most dominant wrestler the last 2 years due to the number of pins he has. This is going to be a great match, which I think could later be the NCAA finals match. I am very excited for this match. My Penn State bias, I'll lean Kirk. No bias. I think it's an absolute coin toss.
Yeah, I have to go, Greg. I mean, last time I spoke to him, it seems like he's doing great. Been training hard and everything, as he does. It's interesting to see him down a little bit of weight. He already moves very, very fast. So, him being faster, that would be a little scary. I'm going to go with Greg, too. But Wyatt Hendrickson's a monster, man. I mean, that dude's a tough match. Every time. You have the weight in general. You have those two there. You have Colton. Is Cassiope done?
Yeah. I think he's out because of the gambling.
So, yeah.
Unfortunate, but.
That is unfortunate.
The top five ranked right now for 285 is Kirk 1, White Henderson 2, Lucas Davison, formerly Northwestern at Michigan 3, mm-hmm. Colton Schultz 4, Zach Elam 5.
Yeah. I think those two are, I mean, it makes sense they're wrestling at the All-Star Classic. I think they're definitely the two lead guys right now. But I'm going to go with my boy Greg Kirkfleet.
Same. Let's go, Greg. But also, White is an awesome dude. I just had him on a couple weeks ago. If you haven't listened to that, go listen to White Hendrickson interview. It took a lot of editing because I think the Air Force base has like a delay in their like internet or something. So there was like a 6-second delay from like when I said something to him listening. So
we that was probably fun.
We had edited out all like those 6-second delays. But so go listen to that episode, please. Make it worthwhile. It was a great conversation. Wyatt's a great kid.
What he's saying is he worked really hard on that episode, recording it and after. So better
correct.
Go watch it.
Please. Yeah. Big
I'll
big Wyatt fan.
A bunch after this.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna ask you one bonus pick.
Yes.
Just one bonus pick.
Okay.
Because for those listening right now, it's 6:30 on a Monday. We're an hour and a half away from the game. Chiefs minus 2, Eagles plus 2.5.
Oh, I'm riding with the birds tonight.
You revenge. Think they get it done in Kansas City?
Oh, yeah. I got a Super Bowl revenge game for the Eagles. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not an Eagles fan or really anything like that. I kind of do like the Chiefs.
I'm torn. I'm torn. So selfishly, I just want to pick. I mean, do you go straight over here, 45.5? I don't know. The last two times
they played, they scored 73 and 78, I want to say.
So over. So the over is the play.
Under's been, it's been an under year. But.
Oh, gosh, you're telling me.
But
the primetime unders is just. I almost took the Bills under last year, or I almost took the Bills under last night, and I said, you know what? Jets suck. And thankfully, I took the Bills minus 8 because the Jets are absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
Did you see today they benched him? Yeah.
Third string.
Yeah, not even backup.
They said, hey, buddy, come take a seat down here.
And they did him dirty. Aaron, did you see that trip last night? When he was like walking backwards and trips and they aired it. I heard Boomer Esiason be like, well, they did him dirty. They didn't have to air that clip. I was laughing.
They didn't. They just
no, it's like pile on. It's rub salt in the wound. I'm going Chiefs. I'm going Chiefs tonight. Just the home team. I think I think if the Eagles were home today, I'd take the Eagles. I'm legitimately not rooting for either one of them because that's what the Bills have to play the next 2 weeks. Bills have Eagles next week, bye, then Chiefs, then Cowboys.
Oh gosh, they're gonna need that bye.
Yeah, and then they have I think they face the Commanders. And then Miami to close the season out. Brutal schedule for the Bills.
That's brutal, especially where they're like what their record is and everything right now.
I think the Cowboys and the Bills have the two toughest remaining schedules. Cowboys schedules.
Who do you think will finish with a better record, the Bills or Steelers?
Bills. Steelers have no offense.
Don't just say the Bills off the top of your head.
The fact that Steelers could not beat DTR yesterday, missed 2 field goals. Like, I like the Steelers. I root for them because of you. But, I mean, that game, you got to beat the Browns. And by the way, I don't know how this is digressing into the NFL podcast, but this is our NFL segment. The fact that what would somebody have had to like say to convince you that, hey, this Steelers team is going to be a 1.5-point favorite over the Bengals come week 12. That's crazy. I get Burrow's hurt, but still, even without Burrow. Well,
if you had told me that at the beginning of the year, I would have been pumped because I would have thought Joe Burrow was hurt. I would have been like Steelers favorite over the Bengals in week 12. Sounds good to me. I don't know. I thought the Steelers were definitely going to beat the Browns last week too with DTR. But, you know, it's –
Oh, you were excited. You texted me the minute DTR was announced. You're like, let's go Steelers.
I got that notification. I texted you right away.
I think it was like I was on a call, and I think it was the Schefter tweet alert and your text like side by side. It happened so quick.
Mine was first, actually.
Yeah, yours might have beat it.
That's it. You know, I'm just ready to go, but the Steelers weren't. So
yeah.
So that's that.
That's to say the least. So. All right, well, that's all I got. You got any final little tidbits here before we close this thing out?
No, I have absolutely nothing. I'm just happy to be back recording.
It's great to have you back on here. We're going to have to get this more regular. It's always tough when you're competing, because I know there's an aspect of, like, you know, you're in the Arizona State room. You got the Penn State alum thing going. You're competing against some of these guys. So when people ask why you're not on more, sometimes it's not the easiest thing to do when you're an active coach, an active competitor. Like
just a few personal conflicts, but like, who really
cares
about that?
Yeah, not many, just a couple. Yeah. All right, guys. That's Bashmania. Like and subscribe. Listen on Apple, Spotify. Again, go back and listen to Wyatt Hendrickson if you didn't. That episode took a little extra love to bring to you guys, but... always worth it. And Carter was on too, an episode or two before that. That was a great conversation. So
man, I love Carter.
Carter's the man. And I feel like sometimes, like, I brought this up on the podcast with him, but like, he talks a lot of crap. And so there's some people that like don't know him. Like Carter's like, in a normal conversation, Carter's a very nice, respectful kid.
Carter's a sweet boy. Yeah.
If all you go by is like the in-season bully talk on Twitter or Instagram, like, you're just not getting the full picture of who Carter is. Like, he's awesome.
You don't get any of it.
Right. Like, yeah. So go back if you want to get to know Carter. Yeah. Go back to episode 210. He's the number one pound for pound guy in the country. We talked about the upcoming season, Olympic trials, all that. All right. That's all I got. That's Bashmania. Subscribe. We'll be back soon.
Yes, sir.
And the beat goes on.